Hey friend, just curious, what comes up inside when you hear the phrase, done is better than perfect? Is it great? I don't care anyway, because perfection is overrated. And honestly, I've got better things to do than fuss over every little detail. Let's just get it done and move on. Or is it good? I'm tired of trying. I'm exhausted from striving for perfection, and done is definitely better than perfect at this point. I just need a break from trying because I'm drained. Or is it no way? I can't not do it just right. I struggle with the idea that anything less than perfect is acceptable. I always aim for excellence, even if it means sacrificing my time and energy. No matter which response you have, there's a little bit of perfectionism in all of us. Whether it's perfectly rejecting perfection, imperfectly aiming for perfection, or endlessly trying to perfect things. That's because we were made in the image of a perfect God, but we have imperfect hearts and we're living in an imperfect world, so we'll never reach it this side of heaven. So instead of wasting time bowing to or rejecting the idol of perfection, let's admit we're not good enough, but He is. By the end of this episode, I hope you'll embrace the phrase, progress, not perfection, written on the Luna Bar wrapper I just unwrapped a few moments ago. As instead of looking to yourself to be perfect, you look to Him to perfect you. So today, I'm going to show you the three steps to let go of this lesser thing that likely is getting too much of your time, attention, and affection. Are you ready? Hey, busy lady, trying to juggle all the things in midlife and business. I see you. Are you tired of feeling like you're constantly on the hamster wheel, doing all the things you've been told are required to grow a successful business? Are you ready to slow down the pace of life and focus your time on what's really necessary to experience abundant fruitfulness this year? Are you desiring to finally stop second guessing, people pleasing, box checking, and multitasking, and instead have a way of building a business that is life-giving, not sucking the life out of you? Friend, you are not just building a business. You are pursuing the purpose God has for your life to glorify Him in all you do. So let me invite you to the most heart, calendar, and should-do list shaping virtual event of the year for Christian women, solo, and entrepreneurs who are ready to ditch random busyness in exchange for faithful fruitfulness in both life and business, and who are doing it with clarity, confidence, and consistency, even in the midst of the chaos of midlife. It's called CEO's Declutter Should Do's 3-day workshop series, and it's happening live April 9 through 11. Inside this exclusive workshop series, you're going to discover my With God business model, how to get clarity on your mission by crafting a With God vision, confidence in your messaging by laying a With God foundation, consistency in your motivation by building With God plans, and calm in your messy midlife by balancing a With God life. This is how women who know who they are and whose they are do business, in full assurance of faith and true partnership with God. If you're looking to see a return on the investment of your time and resources that's no longer a meager yield but an abundant harvest, if you're tired of listening to the world's gurus that tell you have to do all the things to please a fictitious avatar and mysterious algorithm, if you're ready to lay down what keeps you from fully turning off so you can truly rest and still grow your impact and income, if you've decided with God that this is the year you're going all in for His glory without worrying about everyone else's permission, persuasion, or perception, then I want to invite you to redeem your time and your free ticket to the CEO's Declutter Should Do's workshop series now, and access special early bird bonuses like my brand new CEO's Foundational Decisions Guide to walk you through 3 key decisions you must make as a CEO with God before you build any further. So if you're looking for a faith-centered system with truth-based support to ensure your business is well-built as well as your life, all you need to do is go to redeemhertime.com/declutter to RSVP for the workshop. And I'll see you in your inbox with all the details, plus your free bonus guide. Hey friend, Before we look at how we bow to the God of perfection in our lives, may I ask, how is perfection showing up in your business these days? Let's be honest. There are a lot of standards out there we think we should meet in order to measure up with the right kind of business. Whether it's the right kind of branding, the right offering, the right messaging, the right pricing, the right marketing, the right inviting, the right follow-up. Wow, there are a lot of rights. And there are a lot of gurus and experts out there who are willing to give you their opinion on what's right for you because, well, it was right for them. But what they don't show you is the way it affected their health, their relationships, their bank account, their sleep, their home life, their faith walk. Because we all want to make it look to others like we've got it all right, when we really don't. So beware when someone tells you this is the right way to do anything. And I don't know about you, but when we pile on the should-dos of all the Pinterest perfect-looking lives and businesses we see in our feeds, it just clutters up our to-do lists, our calendars, and our hearts. And then we either never get off the hamster wheel of always doing to get it just right, or we say, why bother trying to be perfect and opt instead for binging ice cream and Netflix. Neither way will help you build the perfect business. So the better question to ask is, what is the right thing that God has called me to do to build my business right now? Armed with that answer, which I promise is a much shorter list than what everyone else is telling you you should do, not only will you have the clarity on what you should do, but the confidence to step out and do it, regardless of what others are doing, thinking, or saying. Because CEOs, Christ-empowered operators of a with God life and business, don't listen to what everyone else is doing. They listen to what God is saying, and they gladly declutter all those should-dos from their list. So, if you want to build your perfect business, not because it meets some elusive standard held by others, or even yourself, but because it's exactly what He's called you to, and you recognize that you're not enough, but with God, He makes you enough, then I want to invite you to grab your free ticket to the CEO's Declutter Should Do's Workshop Series, coming in just a few weeks, April 9th through 11th. Pop on over to redeemhertime.com/declutter to get access to the live workshop event, as well as the early bird bonus, 3 CEO Foundational Decisions Guide to get you started on the right path, pun intended. Together, we're going to turn off the noise of what the world says the right business looks like so you can listen to His voice and be confident in what He's calling you to. Then we'll get clarity around what should be on your list and what shouldn't. And finally, we'll get consistent around doing what's right for you so you can ditch the random busyness in exchange for faithful fruitfulness and start seeing the growth in your expertise, in your impact, and in your income. Doesn't that sound like a much better way to build a successful business than trying to meet a standard of doing things just right that you'll never reach? I'm here to tell you, and so are my redeemed midlife CEOs, that when you do life and business with God, things start shifting in a way that's exceedingly abundantly beyond all you could ask or imagine. To Him be the glory. So, if that's the way that you want to build a business, be sure to grab your spot at redeemhertime.com/declutter, and I'll drop it all in your inbox. Speaking of trying to reach a standard of perfection in life and business, I promised you 3 steps to let go of the idol of perfectionism. And I'm here to tell you, even if you don't think you're a perfectionist, you might be surprised at the place it has in your heart. So, are you ready to do a perfectionism heart check with me? Good. Because God's been working on me in this area too. Step number 1, recognize your perfectionism idol. Now, I need to start with a confession. I am a perfectionist. I don't know that I would have used that word in the past, because as a straight A student and a servant leader in high school, college, and even into my 20s and 30s, I always saw it as pursuing excellence in all I did, and I couldn't imagine doing anything less. But when I was first introduced to the Enneagram and took the quiz, I couldn't ignore it or excuse it away any longer. Right next to that 1 was the word perfectionist. Now, at first, I took offense at it because who wants to be called a perfectionist? I actually preferred the alternative word reformer because that sounded more noble. But as I studied the 8 types in the book The Road Back to You by Ian Morgan Cron, as reminded that no one type is better or worse than another, and that all, in some way, reflect the character of God. Yes, God is a perfectionist, in a good way, so maybe it wasn't so bad to now have that, quote, label. I'm saying that in air quotes, because if you truly understand the Enneagram tool, it's not about putting a label on yourself or others that shames or excuses any behavior. It's actually a way of more deeply understanding what makes you you and how you interact with the world around you. And you know what? It's true. I am a one. I am a perfectionist. I do want to make things right in my life, especially in the lives of others and the world around me. No wonder that creating systems for following through on what you say matters and teaching them to others comes so easily and naturally to me, because it's about helping others grow in the right direction too. I wouldn't guess that a seven who highly values enjoyment and fun would head into time management coaching. Would you? But what I was recently reminded of is that as a one who wants to perfect things and keep them in the right place, when I'm healthy, I can let go of trying to keep the world spinning on its axis just right and forget about all the things that still need to be done or fixed and just enjoy life like a seven. But when I'm stressed, when things don't feel right, and it seems like no one around me cares and it's all up to me, that's when I act like a four and I turn inward, feeling sorry for myself because I have to carry the weight of the world on my shoulders or it's all gonna fall apart. And then I will have to pick up the pieces and try to put them back together again, the right way. It can be exhausting being a one, a perfectionist, a reformer, because in this life, there's always something or someone that needs fixing or that can be improved. But it's not all about me. So let me ask, are you a perfectionist? Now, before you go saying, I'm no one on the Enneagram, or I have no idea what you're talking about because I've never heard of it before or bothered to look into it for myself, let me just say, I believe we all have a little perfectionist desire in us. You see, a two desires the right connections. A three desires the right achievements. A four desires the right individualism. A five desires the right information. A six desires to be the right loyalist. A seven desires to be the right optimist. An eight desires to challenge from the right side. And a nine desires to be the right peacemaker. Perfectionist tendencies are common to us all. We all want to be without fault or flaw, don't you agree? But while it may be easier to see it in others, especially us ones, how do you recognize your own subtle perfectionist tendencies or your blatant perfectionism pursuits? Well, it's reflected in how you deal with conflict, how you deal with accidents, with failure, with ruined plans, or even with interruptions. How we respond to imperfect scenarios shows how tight our grip is on making or keeping things the way we want them to be, aka our definition of being perfect. So, how did you respond the last time things didn't quite go the way you planned or expected? And what does that tell you about the place that perfectionism has in your heart? I'll be the first to admit, especially as an Enneagram 1, that it's hard for me to trust when things don't go the way I thought was right, even when it's God saying that he has something different for me and asks me to lay down my perfectionism in order to follow him completely. You too? Well, you're not alone. In fact, do you remember the rich young ruler we started this whole series off with back in episode 216, when we introduced this whole concept of lesser things that have our time, attention, and affection more than God, aka idols of the heart? We also referred it to him again in episode 222. We talked about our grip on treasure and security in our earthly treasures. Well, guess what? We are going to revisit his interaction with Jesus one more time because it directly references perfection. Listen carefully to Matthew 19, 16 through 22. And behold, a man came to him saying, Teacher, what good deed, aka right thing, must I do to have eternal life? And he said to him, Why do you ask me about what is good? There's only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments. He said to him, Which ones? And Jesus said, You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, All these I have kept. What do I still lack? AKA, I think I'm perfect. But Jesus said to him, If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You see, just like me and like you, no matter what your number on the Enneagram, the rich young ruler couldn't see his own perfectionism. He couldn't see his desire to do the right good deeds to earn God's acceptance and admittance into the kingdom. And he couldn't admit that all his good deeds of not murdering, not committing adultery, not stealing, not bearing false witness, honoring his parents, and loving his neighbor were not good enough for God's standard. That's because he couldn't admit he would never be good enough on his own. He thought if he just did the right things, the things that Jesus was about to tell him, it would be enough. But it never would be. And so I think he walked away sad because he was tired of trying to achieve perfection. And now he knew it wasn't possible because he wasn't willing to completely let go of his perfectionism to follow Jesus. So let's not be like him. Now that we have recognized our perfectionism, we are ready to move on to step two. Acknowledge you will never be good enough. When you get to the root of perfectionism, it really all comes down to the fear of failing or of being recognized as falling short, whether that's in our own eyes, the eyes of others, or the eyes of God. No one likes feeling less than. And when we continually fight the humility required to admit we'll never reach that standard of perfection, we leave no room for the reality of our shortcomings or imperfections because we're fixated on doing it right or at least looking right. Ultimately, perfectionism, no matter what level, is rooted in pride. And pride is focused on ourselves, how we look to God or to others. And the Bible is clear. We do fall short in a big way. Romans 3:23 reminds us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Yep, if God is perfect, we are not even on the map. So then it could feel really confusing to hear Jesus say to his followers in Matthew 5:48, "You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Is he saying that we have to meet God's standard of perfection? Yes and no. You see, contrary to the way most people read the Sermon on the Mount, it's not a list of impossible standards to make it really hard for someone to enter the kingdom of God. It's actually a description of a heart that's been perfected by Christ, one that responds rightly, looks at things rightly, speaks rightly, gives rightly, prays rightly, trusts rightly. Instead of being a justification for perfectionism, it's actually a reiteration of how impossible it is, by human standards, to meet all of God's perfect standard in the law. But oh, how we still try to do it all perfectly, don't we? We are just like those Pharisees. You see, they not only lived by the letter of the law, not the spirit of it, they also drafted an extra document to guide their behavior called the Mishnah. This was an extended list of rules to make you look right. Essentially, they took God's standard of holiness and turned it into their own standard of legalism, doing enough things in the right way to be right in God's eyes and, let's be honest, in the eyes of others, who they did what they did in front of to be seen by. But Jesus had already said otherwise back in verse 20 of that same chapter, when he shockingly poked holes in their perfectionism. Matthew 5:20 says, "Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." You see, the Pharisees' problem was twofold. First, they were focusing on external appearances rather than internal heart change. And second, they were looking to themselves to be good enough, rather than looking to what Christ did and what he could do for them. Any time spent bowing to a God of perfectionism is wasted time, because on our own, we will never reach it. So instead, acknowledge you will never be good enough. And then you're ready to move on to step three. Look to him to perfect you completely. You see, even though the rich young ruler and the Pharisees refused to acknowledge their perfectionism and the gaping hole in them trying to reach it, God's standard and our desire for perfection remains, because he is perfect and we are not, but we were made to reflect his image. And instead of lowering the bar of perfection for us, Jesus cleared the bar for us so we don't have to keep trying on our own. You see, just before saying that our righteousness needs to be on a whole nother level than the Pharisees, Jesus had just told his followers in Matthew 5:17, "Don't think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." What he was telling them, that even his closest disciples did not yet understand, was that his purpose in coming was to perfectly fulfill God's standard of perfection on our behalf, because it cannot be fulfilled in ourselves. And if left just to ourselves, we'd never be able to have a relationship with a perfect and holy God. And that is why, after perfectly not only keeping the law, but taking it to a heart level without sin, he died on the cross for us, imperfect people, full of sin and falling far short of God's standard. Hebrews 10:14 tells us, "For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are sanctified." Wow. Instead of having to keep working towards perfection, he already perfected us when we put our complete trust in his work, not in ours. We need only to look to him, to his perfect work on the cross, when he said, "It is finished," and tore the curtain in the temple to give us, imperfect people, access to a relationship with the perfect God. And oh, the freedom that me as a perfectionist one, or you as a two connector, or a three achiever, or a four individualist, or a five investigator, or a six protector, or a seven optimist, or an eight challenger, or a nine peacemaker can experience when we no longer have to give time, attention, and energy to trying to be enough in his eyes. As it says in More Than Anything by the Daily Grace Co., this truth sets us free to be honest with ourselves and about our imperfections. It sets us free from the exhausting maintenance of a perfect reputation. It sets us free to acknowledge our shortcomings through confession and repentance. It sets us free from the insecurity of being less than perfect. It sets us free to run with full abandon to the one who can give us rest from our attempts to be perfect. It sets us free to fight sin and embrace sanctification. Ultimately, it sets us free to live and engage imperfectly with a hope that lives outside of ourselves. You see, when our perfection gets out of the way, then he can do his work in us. Yes, we'll continue to daily battle our imperfections and our desire for perfection. But as we learn to not look to our own ability or even to the standards of others, but instead look to him, he will be faithful to complete the work he began in us on the day of Christ Jesus. Friend, there is freedom in knowing that God is not looking for perfect behavior or perfect motives, because he's not looking for us to work a process of taking the right steps in the right order in the right way. He is looking for imperfect hearts that trust in Jesus' perfect work in us. That is me. Is that you too? As a quick recap, here are the three steps to let go of perfectionism, aka doing things right. Number one, recognize your perfectionism as an idol. Number two, acknowledge you are not enough on your own. Number three, look to him to perfect you completely. And here are a few reflection questions on perfectionism to see if this has your heart. Where do you see perfectionism in your life, and how are you tempted to idolize it? In what ways can you live imperfectly while still fighting sin and embracing sanctification? How will you look to him to make a way for you to meet the standard of perfection set by God? As with all the lesser things, aka idols, we've addressed so far in this series, when we stop looking to ourselves or to others and instead look to him, everything changes, because then he's the one on the throne of our heart. The only time it's healthy to look to others is when they're helping us see what we can't or don't want to see in ourselves. So be sure to come join the conversation over inside the Redeem Her Time community. Here is today's community question. What is one way that you will lay down perfectionism and focus on his perfect work in you? If it's your first time, you can find us at redeemhertime.com/community. Where we are perfectly imperfect together. And if you're looking for a group of perfectly imperfect women who are committed to the Lord and his way of redeeming our time to build the life and business he's called you to, with confidence that it doesn't have to meet you or your or any other impossible perfect standard, be sure to grab your spot for the CEO's Declutter Should Do's workshop. and get started on making those three foundational CEO decisions for your With God business. And as we wrap things up today, I pray you are truly embracing progress, not perfection. May our prayer echo what I read just this morning in the Valley of Vision. Fill our minds with the grandeur of your perfection, because then there's no room or time for our imperfection to take up any space. Let's pray. Dear perfectly heavenly Father, thank you that you are holy and set apart, and that you have set a standard of perfection for being in your presence. And although it's sometimes hard to admit, thank you that we cannot attain that standard of perfection on our own, because then we'd waste all of our time trying. Instead, show us our perfectionism. Give us the humility to admit we are not enough, and give us the faith to trust in your perfect work on the cross through your perfect Son, Jesus Christ, to perfect us for all time, so we don't have to try to be good enough, but instead can just enjoy being with you. Keep our eyes from pride in looking at our perfection or lack thereof, or looking at what we think we see in others and how we don't measure up. And instead, fill our minds with the grandeur of your perfection, so much so that there's no room for anything else. Thank you that we are imperfect, so that we need your perfect work in us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, friend, I'll see you over inside the Redeem Her Time community, where we'll talk more about this. Thanks for joining me for this episode. Until next time, remember, instead of chasing time on a clock, trying to control it, receive the gift of time from the one who truly holds it. Because as his daughter, you have time. Hey, before you go, I pray this episode blessed you, challenged you, and moved you to take action. So, what was the one thing God showed you today? I'd love to hear. So would you take a minute to leave a review on Apple Podcasts? It makes my heart smile, and that way I know you're liking the show. And it helps other busy Christian women just like you find real-life answers too. Speaking of which, grab the link and share this with someone you know that's been praying for a breakthrough. And don't forget to come join the after party inside the Redeem Her Time community. We're not just about knowing, we're about doing together. Head on over to redeemhertime.com to join the community, leave a question to be featured on the podcast, schedule a free 15-minute strategy session, or all the above. Of course, I'll drop the link in the show notes because I know you're a busy girl. Look carefully then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Ephesians 5:15-16. I'll see you in a few days, friend. God bless.